Part 1.
You are going to hear a conversation.
First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. Listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 1 to 7.
Rita speaking. What should I do for you?
Oh, hi. I'd like to order some stationery.
Could I know your name?
Jackson Paris.
Right. Can I just confirm your account number and the name of your company, Jackson?
Sure. The number is 692411.
692411. Right. And you're from Rainbow Computer?
No, the company is Rainbow Communications.
Oh, okay. I'll just fix that on the system. Communications. And what would you like to order, Jackson?
Envelopes. We need a box of A4, that is, normal size envelopes.
White, yellow or manila?
We'll have the plain white, please. But the ones with the little windows.
OK, one box. A4, white. Just one box, was it?
On second thoughts, make those two boxes. We go through heaps of envelopes. As a matter of interest, are they made from recycled paper?
No, you can't get white recycled paper. The recycled ones are grey, and they're more expensive, actually.
Right, we'll stick to white then.
Something else, Jackson?
Yes, we need some coloured photocopy paper. What colours do you have?
We've got purple, light blue, blue, light green, whatever you want pretty much. There are 500 sheets on the pack.
Let me see. We're going to need a lot of blue paper for our new price lists. So can you give us 10 packs, please? Make sure it's the light blue, though.
10 packs of the light blue. Anything else that we can help you with?
Let me think. What else do we need? I'm sure there was something else.
Pens, paper clips, fax paper, computer supplies, office furniture.
Oh, yes. We need floppy disks. Do you have those nice coloured ones?
Yes, but they're a bit more expensive than the black ones.
That's all right. I'm not paying anyway.
Right. Floppy disks. What about diaries next year? We've got them in stock already, and it's a good idea to order early.
No, I think we're all right for diaries, but something we do need is one of those big wall calendars. You know, one that shows the whole year at a glance. Do you stock those?
We certainly do.
Okay, can you include a wall calendar then, with the other stuff? Just make sure it's got the whole year on the one side.
Sure.
Now you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now listen to the next part of the conversation and answer questions 8 to 10.
And do you have a copy of our new catalogue?
No, I don't. But would you send one?
Yes, I'll pop one in with the order. You'll find it a lot easier to remember what you need if you have our catalogue in front of you next time.
Yes, good idea. And when can you deliver this?
Should be with you tomorrow morning.
Can you make sure that it's not after 11:30 a.m? Because we have to go out at 12. There's only myself here on Fridays.
Fine. I'll make a note in the delivery docket that they should deliver before 11:30. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
That is the end of part one.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You'll hear a man talking about living and working on Trinidad. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinfold, and I'm here today to tell you about my gap year, which I took about 20 years ago. Unlike many students these days who go travelling or get some work experience between school and university, I decided to do something completely different after finishing my degree. I applied to work for a charity organisation. What it does is it sends people with particular skills to countries where those skills are needed. Apart from having some experience teaching English to summer school students, I didn't have any particularly useful skills, I thought, but luckily I was still accepted. I had to find the money for the flight, but you get free accommodation. I stayed with a family of five. And you do get paid, but not much. It's a bit like pocket money, enough to get by. I worked in an orphanage and taught English at a local school. Where was I? Well, originally, I was going to be sent to a village in India, but at the last minute, the organisation decided to send me to Trinidad. Now, this is a fascinating place. It's an island in the Caribbean. Well, in fact, the country is actually two islands. The smaller one is called Tobago, which is connected somehow to the word tobacco. Anyway, there I was, a young white guy living and working on an island which is mostly a mixture of descendants from Africa and India. The Africans were originally brought over as slaves, and the Indians came later as indentured workers. That means they agreed to come for a specific time, but many of them stayed. There are also some Trinidadians of Chinese and British origin, though the native inhabitants were basically wiped out by colonialization. I myself felt completely accepted and had the time of my life. The language everyone speaks is English, so there was no problem for me there, but some concepts don't quite translate. They're pure Trinidadian. There's the term liming, for example, which means sitting around watching the world go by. Also, there's the famous carnival when the whole island is taken up in playing mass. For a whole month around February or March, it depends when Easter is, everyone's busy preparing costumes, practicing calypsos, soca and steel pan music, and most importantly, partying.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
When the actual official carnival starts, it's days of 24-hour dancing in the streets. In Trinidad, it's called wining. You've probably seen this sort of thing on TV, in the more famous carnival in Rio, or even at the Notting Hill Carnival in London. Many people join bands, each one of which has a theme. For example, the sea or jungle fever, and they have costumes designed and made to go with the theme. These can cost $1,000 for the king and queen of each band. They're incredible. The whole city is a non-stop party zone full of colour and sound. It's serious too. The bands are in competition and the winner gets $1 million. Sorry, I got a bit carried away with those memories. Back to my real job there. The orphanage was called St. Augustine's, and that's also the name of the place where it was, St. Augustine, a town just outside the capital city, Port of Spain. I didn't have any particular job description, just to be with the children and tell stories, sing songs and play games. Oh, and we also went camping in the jungle once. I could tell you a few stories about that particular escapade. Every time I arrived at the gate, kids would come running towards me, shouting, with big smiles on their faces. The younger children seemed fascinated by my blonde hair and loved to touch it as if it was something miraculous. The English teaching I did 2 days a week in a primary school for 6 to 11-year-olds. The kids may have been poor, but they all wore neat and clean uniforms and were so respectful and enthusiastic. I've now been teaching for many years in different countries, and I still think those were the best students I've ever taught. What else did I do while I was there? I swam a lot. Can you imagine what it's like swimming with dolphins and with pelicans diving into the sea right next to you? More seriously, I trained to be a Samaritan. That's someone who listens and supports people who have problems with their lives. Overall, what I took from the experience was a sense of being in another culture, or rather cultures. As humans, we all share many characteristics, but we express ourselves in various ways. In Trinidad, there are lots of different communities and religions, and so many different kinds of festival to see. Hindu, Muslim, Christian, as well as some rather mysterious African traditions. There are quite a few Rastafarians, too. Trinidad is, as Americans are fond of saying of their own country, a melting pot where everybody is greeted warmly. Go and see for yourself. I'm not sure how it's changed since I was there, but I'd love to find out.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
Hello, my name is Emiliano. I am a student here and I'd like to rent a house for 6 months.
Okay, well you've come to the right place. We specialise in short-term rental. First of all, I would like to get a few details from you. Can you give me your full name, please?
Yes, it is Emiliano Nespla.
And can you tell me your present address, please?
Yes, it's 17 Middle Way, Penrose. I'm living with a homestay family at the moment.
That's great. Now, do you have any identification with you? Oh, and we will need a reference from someone who knows you here. Maybe your homestay family.
Yes, okay. Here's my passport and the card from my language school. My reference can be Mrs. Alice Thompson. She's my homestay mother and she wouldn't mind, I'm sure. You can contact her at the same address as me, of course.
Okay. If we need to contact you, should we leave a message with your homestay?
No, you can speak to me directly. My cell phone number is 021-548-3534.
Great. Now, do you have a bank account? You will need to pay your rent by direct debit. You know, it will come out of your account automatically every month.
Okay, I don't have my bank account details with me now, but I can get them and bring them back later today.
That's fine. Now, can you tell me what kind of house you were looking for? Do you want to rent by yourself?
No, I'm looking for a three-bedroom house. I want to rent with my two friends. I will bring them in to see you later today.
Okay, and what areas are you interested in renting in?
Well, here's a map. Can you see my school? I don't have a car, so I need to take some kind of public transport to school, and I don't want to travel for more than 30 minutes each way. Do you think you have anything which is suitable?
Yes, we do. Here is a list of available properties. I'll highlight the ones that could be of interest to you. Look at the map and go and have a look at the houses with your friends. Do you have a friend with a car?
Yes, I do.
Good. So go and look outside the houses. It will give you an idea of what the area is like. But remember, don't go into the garden or knock on the door. If you want to go in and have a look, let me know and we can arrange an appointment.
Okay. Can you give me an idea of price?
Yes. If you look at the list, you can see the weekly rent written next to the house address.
Oh, yes. I can see it now. Do I need to pay anything else?
Yes, you need to pay a deposit, which you will get back when you move out, and you have to pay a non-refundable agent fee, which is equivalent to 1 week's rent. You will have to pay your bills when they come in every month too, of course.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your help. What time should I come back with my friends and my bank details?
How about 2:30 this afternoon?
That sounds good. Thank you for your help. I'll see you later.
Thanks for coming in. Goodbye.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 27 to 30.
Hey, don't throw that can away.
Why not? I finished with it.
Yes, but you can recycle things like that.
Oh, I haven't got time to recycle everything I throw away.
That's a terrible attitude. Don't you care about...
Hello, you two.
Hi, John.
What are you arguing about?
Oh, Sam says he doesn't have time to recycle. What do you think?
Well, I agree that it can be difficult sometimes. Do you always recycle everything then, Mary?
Yes, I think everyone should. I mean, look at the state of the planet. If we don't all start making an effort now, it could be too late.
Well, one of the reasons I don't recycle as often as I should is that I don't really know where to go. There are no recycling facilities near me.
Well, I know I said I haven't got time, but actually there is a bottle bank near the supermarket just up the road. So I suppose there are limited local facilities.
So you can do your recycling outside the supermarket?
Yes, but like I said, only limited. It's only a bottle bank.
Well, I don't have a car, so it's very difficult for me, but I still do it. Sometimes a friend comes over and we take our recycling together, but not very often. So if your facilities are limited, then mine are very limited.
Well, I suppose if you go to all that trouble, I might make more of an effort.
Good. If it was up to me, I'd encourage more people to recycle.
How?
Well, how about some kind of incentive? A reward for anyone who makes an effort to recycle?
That's a good idea. But if you think everyone should recycle, then why not penalise those who don't recycle instead of giving something to people that do? If there was a fine for anyone caught throwing recyclable materials in the rubbish, people would take more notice.
Well, now you're going too far. Do you really want anyone going through your rubbish just to check if you're following the rules? No, I don't think fines are a good idea.
Well, I think we should be doing something. Anyway, I have to go. I've got my social science class next. See you later.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4. You will hear a woman giving a talk at a popular science convention. She is describing research into artificial gills designed to enable humans to breathe underwater. Now you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 31 to 40.
In my talk today, I'll be exploring the idea of artificial gills. I'll start by introducing the concept, giving some background and so forth, and then I'll go on to explain the technological applications, including a short, very simple experiment I conducted. Starting with the background. As everyone knows, all living creatures need oxygen to live. Mammals take in oxygen from the atmosphere by using their lungs, and fishes take oxygen from water by means of their gills, which of course in most fishes are located either side of their head. But human beings have always dreamt of being able to swim underwater like the fishes, breathing without the help of oxygen tanks. I don't know whether any of you have done any scuba diving, but it's a real pain having to use all that equipment. You need special training, and it's generally agreed that tanks are too heavy and big to enable most people to move and work comfortably underwater. So scientists are trying a different tack. Rather than humans carrying an oxygen supply as they go underwater, wouldn't it be possible to extract oxygen in situ? That is, directly from the water, while swimming. In the 1960s, the famous underwater explorer Jacques Cousteau, for example, predicted that one day surgery could be used to equip humans with gills. He believed our lungs could be bypassed and we would learn to live underwater just as naturally as we live on land. But of course, most of us would prefer not to go to such extremes. I've been looking at some fairly simple technologies developed to extract oxygen from water, ways to produce a simple, practical artificial gill, enabling humans to live and breathe in water without harm. Now, how scientists and inventors went about this was to look at the way different animals handled this. Fairly obviously, they looked at the way fishes breathe, but also how they move down and float up to the surface using inflatable sacs called swim bladders. Scientists also looked at animals without gills, which use bubbles of air underwater, notably beetles. These insects contrive to stay underwater for long periods by breathing from this bubble, which they hold under their wing cases. By looking at these animal adaptations, inventors began to come up with their own artificial gills. Now, making a crude gill is actually rather easy, more straightforward. You take a watertight box, which is made of a material which is permeable to gas, that is, it allows it to pass through inwards and outwards. You then fill this with air, fix it to the diver's face, and go down underwater. But a crucial factor is that the diver has to keep the water moving so that water high in oxygen is always in contact with the gill, so he can't really stay still. And to maximize this contact, it's necessary for your gill to have a big surface area. Different gill designers have addressed this problem in different ways, but many choose to use a network or lattice arrangement of tiny tubes as part of their artificial gills. Then the diver is able to breathe in and out. Oxygen from the water passes through the outer walls of the gill, and carbon dioxide is expelled. In a nutshell, that's how the artificial gill works. So, having read about these simple gill mechanisms, I decided to create my own. I followed the procedure I've just described, and it worked pretty well when I tried it out in the swimming pool. I lasted underwater for nearly 40 minutes. However, I've read about other people breathing through their gill for several hours. So the basic idea works well, but the real limitation is that these simple gills don't work as the diver descends to any great depth because the pressure builds and a whole different set of problems are caused by that. Research is being done into how these problems might be overcome, but that's another story, which has to be a subject of another talk. Despite this serious limitation, many people have high hopes for the artificial gill, and they think it might have applications beyond simply enabling an individual to stay underwater for a length of time. For example, the same technology might be used to provide oxygen for submarines, enabling them to stay submerged for months on end without resorting to potentially dangerous technologies such as nuclear power. Another idea is to use oxygen derived from the water as energy for fuel cells. These could power machinery underwater, such as robotic devices. So, in my view, this is an area of technology with great potential. Now, if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Lady...
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.